Well, it's been really fun hearing these stories tonight. It has been making me think of being a teenager and the different jobs that I've had. When you're young and immature and you're able to just kind of get sick of a job and get to that point of hating it and go, later boners, I'm out of here. And or you want to know where to put this job? Bend over and I'll show you. But there are some jobs you just can't walk away from. I spent most of my 20s involved in this organization, this nonprofit organization, and it was great. I went all over the world. I connected with different people in different cultures and communities. We were helping out with global women's issues, clean water projects, food security, food justice issues, and I'm a passionate, intense person. And so I sort of found, like, my people. And this is what I was kind of made to do and what I really where I really felt like I belonged, what I was good at. And I was traveling all over the world, connecting with all kinds of people and loving meeting new people from around the world and teaching and speaking and getting good at it and feeling like I kind of had this, finding myself. I was becoming this person that I was really happy being. And then I married my husband right before I turned 30. I know. Yeah, everybody's like, no, I can see what's coming. And then I got married. And that was fantastic. Right away, we decided we wanted to have kids. And now I don't come from the most stable childhood and background. A lot of us don't. So I had no modeling of what that was like. I had grown a lot as a person. I'd kind of seen it in front of me in this organization that I worked with, what like a healthy family was. And I kind of am like one of those people that has an equal measure of grandiosity and insecurity. So like I can be really insecure, but I'm also kind of awesome. So when it came to thinking about having kids, I thought I'm pretty sure I got this one. I know, and all the like people that have had kids are like, that was really cute that you thought that. And so my expectation and my image of what it was going to be like to have kids within this organization was that they would come with me wherever I went. My husband, another good one, Tracy, again, you're just, yeah. So I have this great supportive husband, and we don't have what maybe some people would look at as those traditional roles where he goes off to work and I stay home with the kids. And he was very supportive of what I wanted to do. And he said, you know, if you want to go out and do those things, I'll be home with the kids. It doesn't matter. And even after we had our first child, his name is Oliver. He's 9 years old. He'll be 10 really soon. He was great, a really mellow kid. Just I was able to strap him on my back, strap him on my front, take him anywhere. We went to South Africa where he was three months old. And it was super easy. We worked with a school out there. He was a great baby. And then, you know, we moved back to the States and just a year later got unexpectedly pregnant again. And then Oliver became this toddler. And overnight, I just watched this really amazing kid turn into this ball of energy and hormone. And I mean, we'd go into somebody's house, and within 5 minutes, he had already got into every single shelf, cabinet, cupboard in their house and pulled stuff off and got on the table and jumped off. We went over to somebody's house once, and I walked in. It was a dinner party. They hadn't even started cooking yet. And I had Chloe with me, who was barely a year old, and Oliver. And, you know, they've got white carpeting. And they have a glass coffee table and knickknacks. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What were you thinking inviting us over? And it's not even ready to be eaten yet. So anyway, within a few minutes, I had to keep taking him outside for a walk. And, you know, even while I'm taking him outside, I'm just staring at him going, you're ruining this. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking it. Just, okay, let's go play in the forest again. But all of these expectations of what I thought it would be like were really starting to crumble. And all of it was really starting to fade away. But I was determined. And so when he was about two and my daughter was just turning one, we went on this trip to Jamaica and we brought some friends with us. And we were going to work in a school, work in a hospital, do all kinds of stuff. And again, I thought with my kids with me, I mean, this is going to be great. They're going to play with these local kids. They're going to make friends with kids from all over the world. We're going to work in a retirement home. Now, when you think of the word retirement home or hospital or school, now, as like a Westerner, you think one thing. Oh, yes, I've got that image in my head. But when you go to another country, it means something incredibly different. And so we would walk into these schools, and I have my kids with me, and somebody would stop us at the door and go, "You can't bring kids in here." I'm like, "But there's kids in here. What are you talking about?" "No, no, no. Some of these kids in here, they'll hurt them. They're crazy." "Oh, okay. So this isn't like a school where kids are like, no, no, this is like an institution." "Oh, okay. Okay, well, I guess we'll go play in the sun." And, you know, my kid was just sweating constantly. The other one was constantly being dehydrated, and I was nursing her, and just, this is not working. Or we go into a old folks home. "Well, you can't bring them in here. There's naked people in here. Like, somebody's going to, like, touch them." I'm like, "Oh, gosh, okay, we'll sit in the hot car." And this was what this outreach was, just disappointing. And one night, we finally got him in a pool somewhere, and we were playing with all these people, and I just thought, man, he's having so much fun. This is great. Everybody's playing with him. Like, he's finally able to get all this energy out. Maybe this could work. I was starting to see a little bit of glimmer of hope. And we get him back to the room, and we start to take his little gym short or his bathing suit off. And inside the netting was, like, bits of corn and tomato and spices and stuff. And I'm like, "The hell is a salad doing in here?" And that's what I thought it was. And it finally hit me, and I look at my husband, and I go, "He totally crapped in the pool." And, like, all of the brown had just sort of gone into the pool. And, like, everything that was left was just all this undigested food. And I'm like, "Dude, you're 2 and a half. Why didn't you say you had to go poop?" Which is funny, because as you become a parent, even now my husband's, you know, 37, he goes, "I have to go pee-pee." As he's talking to me, I'm like, "Oh, you have to pee-pee?" So anyway, "Why didn't you tell us you have to poop?" "I don't know." And it was, again, that moment of just, this isn't working. I can't take you anywhere. And that's what it felt like. All the expectations that I had of what we would do and what it would look like, it was crumbling. And so that summer we went home, and, you know, it was a difficult summer. I was trying to make peace with what it meant to be a mom and be in this organization and still do what I wanted to do. I can remember one day I was sitting on the porch. Chloe was sleeping. Oliver was playing somewhere. He had these little boots on. They were like rain boots, and they had little bumblebee and little antennas coming out of him. He just looked super cute. And I was kind of starting to do that, you know, I was having a moment with him, cute kid. And I told him, "Don't go outside the back door." And I would tell him this all the time. "You can go out the front if you ask me," because he'd run out. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that. He would just leave all the time, leave the house, run out the door, 2 and a half. So I told him, "Don't go out the back door. And, you know, it's traffic out there, and you can't go out the back door." So I go out the front door just to sit and get, like, a moment of peace and quiet to myself. And I'm there, and I'm breathing through it, and I'm just kind of thinking about the summer and some of the disappointment that that had been. And I just, for some reason, thought, I should just go in and check on him. So I go into the house, and as I go in, he's leaving the back door and walking out the back door. And I just, in my frustration, ran up to him and pulled him back in and said, "What are you doing? I told you not to go out the back door. Like, why can't you listen to me?" And, you know, I scared him, so he started crying. And I said, "Where were you going?" And he goes, "But I saw you sitting out in the front, so I was going to run around the house and surprise you." I know. And I just went, "Oh, Kay, gosh, you're so awesome." And I started having that realization of, like, I cannot do this anymore. I have no idea how to make this work. I have no idea how to love these kids and be there for them and still do everything I want to do and still pursue all my dreams and all the awesomeness that I think that I am. I have no idea how to do this. And so I kind of started feeling like I just needed to engage with the process. Because for me, engaging with something that I don't want to do is like throwing your arms up in surrender, which I don't do. I make it work, damn it. And it wasn't working. So I slowly just began to do little things like read to him all the time. And it started opening up this world of children's books and stories that I thought, man, he's loving this. This is incredible. He was into the movie WALL-E. And I started teaching him about outer space because he loved the idea of floating through space. And I started seeing he was getting it. By three, he knew all the planets in our solar system. But it wasn't because, you know, he's a super genius kid and I sat him down and taught it to him. I found something that he was interested in and I found a way to connect with him. And my other daughter was still growing, and so she wasn't quite at that point yet. But even if he had too much energy, I would pull the mattress on the floor and just let him jump on it. And as I was doing this, I was starting to see, like, I'm kind of enjoying this. I'm kind of liking this. This isn't so bad. Why have I been resisting this for so long? I just need to engage with what I perceive to be pain and just kind of, like, go for it. The best example that I could have about what that meant to me and to kind of draw near to the tension or draw near to the pain was, you know, I had these first two children in labor delivery, which don't worry, you know, I know everybody's like, are you going to start talking about vaginal birth now? But vagina's been dropped, so it's a safe place. Like, we're there. We can do this together. But don't worry, I'm not going to start talking about, like, crowning or, you know, episiotomies or pooping on the delivery table or anything like that. Some of you know. So when I had my first two, it was so damn painful. Now, some women don't experience, like, incredible pain, but I sure did. And I went through it anyway, but it felt like this thing that was happening to me. Like this, something my body was just doing to me. And I just kind of had to, like, deal with it. And I had to sort of abide with it. And it was miserable. And it was just everything I could do to just, like, get through the pain of it. And it was like I'd feel a contraction coming. It was just, oh, gosh, here it comes again. You know, brace yourself. Brace. I know, Holly. Sorry. It's okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to do great. But it was just this, like, brace yourself, here comes the pain again. And it was so difficult to get through it, but I did it, and we can do it, but it was really hard. And by the time I had my third, I decided I would try something different. Because, you know, I always read stuff and how to have a better labor. I was really into that. And so I was reading about what it meant to, like, embrace the pain and kind of, like, pull it towards you instead of, like, resisting it and just trying to focus on something else. Because that never works. There's no amount of focusing you can do to get through that pain. And by the time I had Sylvie, our third, I was in the birthing center, and every time I felt a contraction, I just told myself, just say yes to it. Just pull it towards you and, like, hold hands with the pain. I know it sounds like such a metaphor, but it was like this image in my mind of holding on to the pain and just going, I'll feel every bit of this. I'll really feel it and engage with it. Instead of trying to just do anything I can to avoid it. And when I did that, it was the best labor. Like, no labor is fun, but it was totally doable. And even at the end of it, my husband said, man, you owned this one. Girl, you owned this one. And he was right, though. I just was able to do it. In the same way that I've been doing that with my kids and just pulling the things into me that represent pain and loss and losing myself. But as I've been journeying with them in that, it's been so much more enjoyable and so much easier. This last summer, we were at Candle Park, which, have anybody been there with your kids? Yeah? That is, like, the best community bathtub that there is in all of Tacoma. It's like swimming in warm water with 200 of your closest friends. It's delicious. And I didn't necessarily want to go, but I knew my kids would love it. We walk in, and I don't even smell chlorine at this point, which is somewhat of a warning sign. Like, with all these kids in, you want a ton of chlorine. They've got this great wave pool in there, and I'm in there with my kids, and, you know, they're trying to swim, and at some point my son gets, you know, do that. He does that thing that kids do when they're swimming. They swallow some water, get it in their mouth, they spit it right back out, and they're talking to you, and there's the line of it. And you're just looking at him going, oh, I think I even looked at him like that, like, I know, like, shame on you, I don't know. So, but then I had this thought, there are like 70 other kids in here, and I know they've all done that. Just close your mouth, Tracy. Just close your, you know, and I could feel water splashing on my lip, and I'm just going, just trying not to swallow any of this water. A couple of my kids found Band-Aids. At some point, you know, I raise my hand for something, this long hair is attached to it. I'm just going, damn, this place is so nasty. But my kids were having so much fun. And at some point, my daughter is just, like, trying so hard to, you know, paddle water. And it's a wave pool, so every time a wave came, it would kind of go over her, and she would swallow some water and then just freak out and then start paddling some more. I can't. And then another wave would come, and I'm like, Chloe, the waves are going to keep coming. You can do nothing. I'm just actually saying this to her, by the way. You can't do anything about the waves are going to keep coming. It's a wave pool, babe. You just lift up your feet, let the wave carry you. It'll drop you again. That's what you do. You bounce into the wave, and then you just come right back down. And of course, as I'm saying this, at this nasty pool, I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, and giving her this metaphor for my life of what it means to lean into the pain and let the wave just pick you up, because it's going to drop you again. And it's going to be fine, because you can't control the waves coming. They always will come. But if you lean into the wave and float with it, likely I probably won't drown. Thank you.